Hello, I'm Alana Simon, president of Michigan State University, and you listen to Current Sports on WKR.
From WKAR at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports with Al Martin.
Johnny Peralta lines one to right field for a base hit.
Miguel Cabrera, game-winning walk-off home run.
The champagne is flowing in the Tigers clubhouse.
I would have never, ever thought that I would have been in the Michigan Hall of Fame as a kid when I first picked up a basketball on 512 Gray Street in Flint, Michigan.
Thomas drives to the left side, goes up and banks it in. Jasmine Thomas.
That's the joy you get from watching like a JV wrestler. Getting his first match ever. That makes it worthwhile as a coach.
It's a fake. Bates is going to throw. Oh, touchdown! Michigan State wins it in overtime!
And we are off, ladies and gents. Yes, it's May 13th, 2013, and welcome to the premiere show of Current Sports with me, Al Martin. Good afternoon, people. Hope you all had a fantastic Mother's Day. I know I did. To kick off today's premiere show, we will talk Red Wings and their big Game 7 last night. The Tigers giving up a gimme to the Indians. Tiger Woods shows why he's just the best in the world. And one former Lion that just cannot catch a break. And people will also have a very special guest that without him, there would be no Current Sports. He will help us launch today's premiere show. That's all coming up on Current Sports. Stay with us. Welcome to Current Sports. I want to thank all of you out there who are tuned in right now. You may have heard about Current Sports on Twitter, Facebook, news releases, or even just word of mouth. No matter how you've heard about us, we are glad you are locked in right now to WKAR AM 870. The aim of Current Sports is to provide a new, fresh, and fun view of local sports concerning mid-Michigan, and while also stimulating conversation that dives beyond your typical X's and O's. Now, don't get me wrong, folks. Hey, do not get me wrong. You will hear your fair share of 2-3 zone and pinch-hitting discussions on Current Sports, but you'll also hear stories and meet people that inspire, push the envelope, and may even motivate you to go out and get active in your local community softball team. Now, the success of this show will be determined by one thing, and that's you. Yes, you eating that salad on your lunch break. Or you sitting at that cubicle. Or you in that backyard patio. Our goal is to get better with each and every show, and your input is the only thing that will make that happen. So you may be sitting back and wondering, hey, who is that guy talking right now? Hey, my name is Al Martin, and I was born and raised in the greatest city known to the human race. Detroit, stand up. That's right, Motown. My love for sports started about 4 years old. My dad would constantly have on ESPN while I was running around in my diapers. Wait, is 4 years old a good age to have diapers on? Because I remember when I was 4 years old running around and watching ESPN. I don't know. But anyway, our aim is to just provide a new, fresh look on this show. Now, I became hooked on football when I was 4 years old. It was my first love. But after my local youth league football coach went all Mark Rice on me, shoving my helmet in the dirt after a missed block, I ditched the gridiron for the hardwood. Basketball became my love. Heck, it still is today. Now, you can check the record books for this part, folks. I'm not lying. I remember my 31-point game in high school, Annapolis High School in Dearborn Heights, Michigan. It was during a Friday night. The school gym was just blazing, popping. It was against Edsel Ford, and I was in a complete zone like Jordan. Al Jordan was in full effect, folks. All right, let me stop dreaming and continue the story. It took some time, and it was pretty hard to come to this realization. But after I realized that no Division I colleges were knocking on my door during my senior year of high school, I thought, hey, why not try sports journalism? I was already the sports editor of the Cougar Crier at Annapolis, and I loved it. During my research, it led me to discover that Michigan State has one of the best journalism programs in the nation. Why not come here? It turned out to be one of the best decisions of my life. And while in college, internships became my life. Sports intern at WLNS. Sports and news reporter for home TV. Big Ten student U intern while I became the color analyst for the MSU baseball team. Voice magazine sports writer. I mean, I didn't have a life, folks. Along with being the president of Alpha Phi Alpha. And oh yeah, there's also that one thing called class. Now looking back, the hard work definitely paid off. I'm truly blessed. I graduated in May of 2012, and by August of that same year, Fred Heumann, the sports director at WLNS, came calling me. I was hired as a sports reporter and anchor, and I absolutely loved it. I learned so much from Fred and Kevin Gale, the other sports reporter there. So now I'm here, hired last month to WKAR, your host of Current Sports, taking over for the man, the myth, the legend, and just a plain old good guy, Earl Robinson. There's no way I can fill his shoes. I can only bring mine. They are size 11 Nikes, if you're wondering. And as I stated earlier, please help me. Like us on Facebook.com/Current Sports. Follow me on Twitter at AlMartinWKAR. Or even email me at AlMartin@WKAR.org. So now that you know me, let's dig into Current Sports.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson. For the next hour, we're going to be talking sports right here on AM 870. Give us a call, 355-9527, toll free, 877-952-7870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. Our special guests in the studio with us this afternoon, our good friend Magic Johnson. And he's already been telling a few stories about our annual card game that we have. You won a few hands, but I think I did hold my own. The last time you were here, you spanked me pretty good. I had to give you credit for it. Didn't happen this time, buddy.
No, you did hold your own. I had to give it up to you and Tiny. You guys played like a true champion. You spanked us the first few games. Okay, everybody on air can now understand that they did do a lot better than the last time. And so it probably ended up in a tie this time, so I can't deny that.
Yeah, and I even had to help Larry out a little bit, help Larry get a W.
Yeah, you did. You did, my brother. So you had to go on and, you know, help him to victory. But he much appreciated. And, you know, anytime we play against you, Earl, we know we're going to have a tough battle on our hands.
Well, as I stated earlier, our first guest on Current Sports really needs no introduction. He sat where I'm sitting for, get this, 39 years. And you know what? I will never forget when I was a junior in college and he came to my sports reporting class. Sue Carter actually taught that class. Unbelievable professor. But hearing his knowledge and advice became one of my motivations to really pursue sports reporting. All right. I think you all know who I'm talking about. It's an honor to welcome our first guest of Current Sports, former sports talk host here at WKAR, Earl Robinson. How you doing, Earl?
Hey, feeling good, Al. It's nice to be here with you.
Thank you, man. It's truly a pleasure, man. I guess I always tell people I got some big shoes to fill, man. They aren't shoes. They are boots, man. You really
just small shoes.
Yeah, figuratively, if you look at their small shoes. But, I mean, just looking at the impact you had on this community, I mean, it's truly an honor to come after you, man. So just talk about that bite a bit, man. That was you and Magic Johnson. You guys are really pretty close. Actually went to college together, if I'm not mistaken, right? Well, talk about that.
Yeah, he was a few years behind me, but he came up here in the 80s. I started in the early 70s, and he came up here in the late 70s, and I came up here in 71.
Gotcha. So how'd that connection?
We started hooking up and pick up basketball games and softball, and we had played on Magic softball team. He got to be a softball player, and he loved playing softball. He was a big-time softball player, so we used to play a lot of softball.
Gotcha. So you guys seem like you guys used to go at it in everything. Now, you mentioned basketball. Of course, I'm a hooper, man. I play all the time, man. Who used to win those games? I would imagine Magic Johnson.
Of
Magic
course. Johnson. Well, see, I always tried to play with him like a lot of guys because when you play with him, you hardly ever lost.
There you go. Be on his team. And don't
be
get against him. Right.
Exactly.
All right. First of all, how is retirement going, man? How is Mother's Day? How is everything going for you right now?
It's not going too bad right now. It's just a few health problems. But other than that, it's been going pretty good.
Gotcha. Well, we're definitely praying for you, man. And so what's your plans right now for retirement, man?
Well, I'm just, just trying to catch up on some things and trying to do some extra duties for myself. But for the most part, I'm just trying to catch up on everything. And that's the main thing, is just trying to catch up enough. I still keep up with all the sports, and that's the main thing.
Now, Earl, you, like I mentioned earlier, 39 years sitting right here at WKAR every weekday, giving the sports to people, connecting with the community. For you, that's such a long time now, Earl.
Yes.
What kept you coming back each and every year?
Well, you said it. It's the community. We have such a great community here in Michigan, and I just loved meeting all the people in here and connecting with other high school coaches, college coaches, and everything is really great. So it's just a great community that we have here in Mid-Michigan.
Now, Earl, anyone who comes in contact with you, I mean, for me, when I first met you as a young sports journalist, aspiring sports journalist, I should say, back in college, I mean, the first time I met you, I mean, you are such a nice person. I mean, and anybody can echo those sentiments when talking about you. I mean, just talk about that value of just treating everyone with respect and how important that is, not in only this profession, but in life.
Yes, it is. Just be good and kind to everyone, and that goes a long way. And there's so many good people in this area. That's what is amazing to me. I mean, I just met so many good people along the way, and that just keeps you going when you meet so many good people.
Now, Earl, for you, 39 years. Keep reiterating that.
Mm-hmm.
When you look back at everything you've done, everything you've covered, what is your best memory as a broadcaster?
I don't know if there's a best memory, but I know the Barry Sanders years were special. Going out of Detroit and covering Barry. Even played a few pickup games with Barry from time to time back then. Played some pickup games with Barry Sanders, but
wow.
Barry is such a good guy. You talk about a nice player. Mm. And he's just one of a kind. He was just so good.
You're telling me you played pickup basketball, are you telling me, or pickup football? What are you talking about?
No, basketball.
Basketball. You played pickup basketball with arguably, in my opinion, the greatest running back to ever grace the gridiron, and Barry Sanders. How was that, man?
Oh, it was fun.
Wow. I'm in awe of that right now. Wow. Now, a lot of people don't know this about you, Earl, but you actually started off in music. Talk about, your love for music, and how did you get into the sports world if you're out there disc jockeying, man?
Well, excuse me, I always wanted to do sports, but music had to get a start at WKAR, and they had a musical. I started out as an intern, basically as a producer, and they hired me in as a student assistant, and I started doing music, and then I got hired in later on when the job became a full-time opening. Then I got hired in full-time to do the music, and then I just waited in my time. Sports became available.
Wow, unbelievable, man. Well, you definitely put a stamp on this community, man. And now you also have a love for boxing that, know, and when you look at boxing, I'm a boxing fan also. I mean, we just saw Floyd Mayweather's fight, and it's really, though, if you look at through the years, boxing has really become a sport that's dwindling down as far as popularity goes. For you, I mean, talk about where you think boxing is going to go in the future and what must change in order for it to get back to the level of popularity that it must be at.
Well, I don't know if it'll ever be back to the level of popularity, but the people can get to it. I mean, I use so many because I'm still a boxing judge, and I follow boxing that way. And people like boxing, they like boxing. People that don't like boxing, you can't hardly convince them to like it. I just like the of all the sports, boxing is the best. I like the one-on-one competition.
Right, exactly. Same here, man. Now, this last question, Earl. Back in 1993, you took over for another Lansing legend who really put his mark on his community, Jim Adams. Rest in peace. He just recently passed away, but you took over for him. And now the torch is kind of being passed, and I'm kind of trying to take over for you, man. What advice can you give me, man?
Well, I'll tell you. Just get out there and do as much as you can, and read as much as you can, and just communicate with the people. That's the main thing. You just get to know as many people as you can, and that'll help a lot. I mean, I was always close to Tom Izzo and such, and not close to the basketball program. And I mean, you can only be close to so many people. And I love the high school sports. So you love the high school sports, get close to all the people in high school, and you're in a college town, so you're going to be close to all college sports, of course. So you got a good start, so that's going to be real helpful there that you're covering college and high school sports.
Definitely. Thanks so much, Earl. Truly an honor, man, to be stepping in your shoes. Well, thanks for being on the show. You feel like sticking around, man?
Sure.
You're going to stick around. We'll talk some sports in a second, all right?
Okay.
Earl is going to stick around with us. Earl Robinson, former sports talk host of WKAR Radio for 39 years. Well, when we come back, we will catch you up on all of today's latest sporting news. It's your Current Sports, and then take some of your calls right here on Current Sports. Keep it locked right here.
Well, the clock says it's time to close now. I guess I
Talk of the Nation provides you with the day's news and more, the experiences and opinions of people around the country and around the world. I'm Neil Conan. When you're looking for the latest news and how it affects you, your family, your neighbors, and your life, turn to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
That's Talk of the Nation coming up at 2 p.m.
7 days a week, Current State brings you the issues, personalities, and events making the heart of Mid-Michigan beat.
To be able to start a farmer's market takes time and energy, people power, and planning.
We change the notes, or we change the phrasing, or we change something for what might happen, and you can't really predict, and that's the beauty of jazz.
We are reinventing city government as we go along. It's like redesigning the airplane while in flight.
Current State, weekdays at 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. on 90.5 WKAR.
Stretches it ahead, Bonino off his stick, recovers it, pulls up inside the stripe, lays it back. Motion is cross, nice pass intercepted by Abdelkader. Abdelkader shorthanded, he is in on Hiller. Score!
Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Well, we just finished up talking with the man who paved the way for this show to be possible, Earl Robinson. So, Earl, you ready for some Current Sports, man?
Definitely.
Let's run it down, man. Okay. All right, as you just heard, in this section of the show, we will run down the latest sporting news. Earl will stay with me. Let's get into it. As you just heard, the Red Wings, Game 7. They topped the Blues in Game 7, 3-2, your final. Henrik Zetterberg got the party started, scoring the first goal, and then Justin Abdelkader contributed. That made it 2-1 Wings. And when you look at this game, a game seven like this, Earl, one thing that really has really been something I've harped on when it comes to the Red Wings and look at them all year, they need to come out and attack games with a certain energy that's willing to say, hey, we're ready to play. And they haven't done it all year. They really came out lackadaisical throughout all season. I don't know if you can echo that, but really when I look at the Wings all year, they've really started games, and it's taken them a while. The second period, they'll get things going in the third period. But that first period, they come out lackadaisical. And this in the NHL playoffs, you can't do that, which is a big reason why I believe this one was pushed to a game seven. What you think, man?
Well, I think basically in hockey, those seedings are 1-8. Anybody can win. And, you know, in basketball, how do you ever see an 8 seed who beat a first seed? Right. But in hockey, it can happen. And this happened, we've seen this at various times. And the Red Wings are a good, solid team. And they've been able to win many games like that just because they are a good, solid team. And like you say, they got off to a good start. That's the key in hockey. You have to get off to a good start. And they've got to have good goaltending. And Howard's been a pretty good goaltender, so that's helped them a lot. So it's really come down to them having a good, solid team and good defense. Defense is so key, and that's really helped them.
Right, very true. I mean, when you look at this game, like you said, Earl, if there's any shining light that you really take away from this series, of course, the shining light is, first of all, they won the Game 7. Give the Red Wings credit. They came out last night, and they looked really, really good. A lot of that credit has to go with their captain, Henrik Zetterberg. I mean, his leadership has been outstanding so far in the playoffs, and you really have to give him a hand clap. Like I said, he scored a goal last night. He assisted in to score a goal last night as well. So his leadership has really been one of the driving forces for this young team. And like you said, the Red Wings are in such a year of transition, losing some key components. You look at Lindstrom and Holmstrom retiring. And, you know, now the torch of that leadership is now being passed to Henrik Zetterberg, and he's doing a great job. Now, you also have to look, like you said, the goaltending. As far as Jimmy Howard has been simply just spectacular. I believe he had 30-plus saves last night. He has really been on it, made it hard for the Ducks to get anything past him. You know, and looking at hockey in general, man, you always love to see a Game 7, and that was very exciting to see that. Now, I got to say this, Earl. Now, I'm born and raised in Detroit. You know, I bleed from the D. But at the same time, when you look at the Red Wings' next matchup, the Chicago Blackhawks, I got to be honest, man, I don't see the Red Wings getting past the Blackhawks. Now, I know you just said, you know, it's hockey, anything can happen. Yeah. But if you look at the way the Blackhawks have played all year, I mean, the incredible streak, especially at the beginning of the season, I don't see the Wings competing with them. I say the Wings are out in five.
Well, that's possible. That's definitely possible. But it is hockey. And, you know, home ice advantage really means nothing, as you saw. They went out to Anaheim and won that. And that's the thing. The playoffs are totally different from regular season. And, yeah, whatever we did in regular season was good. But it holds nothing. It has nothing to do with the playoffs. So we'll see what happens in the playoffs. But, yeah, have a good chance, but you're right. Chicago is really a stronger team.
Yeah, Chicago is just loaded, yeah. Loaded. I mean, when you look at their lineup, it's really, like I said, the Red Wings have to change that mentality. They have to approach every single game. You know, this is the NHL playoffs, and it really baffles me. I mean, that you come out games, you know, not they seem like they're not into it, and it baffles me because this is the NHL playoffs. You should be approaching every game like that. You know, you got to have a Game 7 mentality. Every single game.
And yeah, but that's what we as fans say, but players don't have that. I mean, you've been playing this team all year long. You've seen them all year long. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're a Chicago fan, you're taking the Red Wings for granted. Mm-hmm. You think you can beat them pretty much, beat most of the other teams. But so once the playoffs start, it's a totally different animal.
It is.
You're just not looking at it. It's not a regular season game, even though you as a player maybe think – you're going to approach this as a regular season approach, regular season kind of mentality.
Right, exactly. And I think also I kind of echo that, you know, them coming out to a slow start is, you know, this is a young team too.
Yeah.
This is a team that's in transition still. A lot of young players on here just trying to find that role. But, you know, they got out of the first round. Anything can happen. I just don't see it happening against the Blackhawks, but a huge win last night for them. They came out. They looked great. Zetterberg looked great. It's good to see Abdicator back. Yeah. Excuse me. He always tongue-ties me with that
You'd
name, man.
You'd have the Spartan in there.
Yeah, exactly. You know, he looks good, man, coming off that suspension to the hit. I mean, that's great. All right, let's move on now to the Detroit Tigers. The Tigers fell 3-2 to the Cleveland Indians over this weekend. Saturday, they beat Justin Verlander. The Indians beat Justin Verlander, that is. And yesterday, rallied against Jose Valverde, giving him his first blown save of the season. Now, a lot of people saying, you know, the verdict is still out when it comes to Jose Valverde. The Tigers still trying to search for who's that closer going to be for them. And, you know, Jose Valverde has a target on his back right now, Earl. He has a huge target on his back. And even though this is his first blown save, it's kind of amplified because it is Jose Valverde, don't you think?
Oh, definitely. I mean, every time he blows a save, especially the fans in the stands, it's going to be like he's blown about 30 saves for him.
Right.
So he's going to have that. He can't afford to blow it from the people's standpoint. It's unfair, but that's the way it is. He's got an unfair target because of all the blown saves. He messed up in the past, so he's got to carry that weight on his shoulders. So,
right, and now the Tigers. If you look at everything in the AL Central right now, the Indians have won 15 of 20, and Sunday's win brought them even with the Tigers atop the AL Central. And like I said, Valverde was brought back on a minor league deal. He was back in Detroit and the closer by the end of April, and he hadn't allowed a run in 5 appearances before Sunday. So, like I said, the target is really on Jose Valverde's back. But another thing, when you look at the Tigers and you know their struggles right now, is they're stranding a lot of guys on bases. They're leaving a lot of ducks on the pond right now, and that's something you you can't do. I think they will tweak it now. Now, I think it's too early for Tiger fans to really get really critical right now. It's still early. Baseball is a long season. But when you look at things that are happening right now and the struggles that they have right now with them, they can't strand guys on base. And they gotta have a solid closer. And Valverde right now, like I said, you know, the verdict is still out for him. We're bringing in also our production assistant, Matt Lutke, to kind of weigh in on things. Well, how you doing, Matt?
Pretty good. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. So, well, let's move on, guys. Let's talk about my man, Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods wins the Players Championship yesterday, wrapped things up. His fourth title of the golf season so far. Now, Woods was really in competition with Sergio Garcia. Him and Sergio were really battling. They were actually tied on the 17th island. Now, Woods would par that, but Garcia would find the water, not once, but twice. And then, it was crazy. He actually quadruple bogeyed that hole, just really handing Tiger that the Players' Championship right then and there. What are your guys' thoughts on that feud right now? Matt, go ahead, man.
Well, you know, Tiger Woods winning, it's a bit of a misnomer because Sergio Garcia really lost it. And if there's a guy you want to be maybe tied going into the final few holes, Sergio is probably at the top of your list in terms of people you want to be competing against. Just because, you know, the chances of him choking are pretty good, and he kind of lived up to that billing yet again.
Looked like
Jan Vandeveld at the British, a decade ago or so. But, you know, he fell apart, and Tiger is Tiger because he doesn't do that. And Sergio will kind of always be Sergio because his most famous moments are ones where he kind of goes down in flames as opposed to, rising to the occasion. So. Tiger definitely won, and he deserves it all the accolades and all the things that'll go with it. But Sergio, he's kicking himself. They were bickering the whole week, a couple old women.
And that's something I want to get to. That's what really made this this win for Tiger, just the championship in general, kind of interesting, because Tiger and Garcia don't like each other, man. They do not like each other. And one of the moments that really got a lot of press was over the weekend. Sergio and Tiger were paired with each other, and Tiger hit his ball off the tee, and it went in the woods. Now, Garcia's hit the fairway, and a situation happened where, okay, Tiger's in the woods, Garcia has to hit his ball first, so I believe Garcia hit his ball first, and then after that, Tiger pulls out, I believe, a fairway wood, and it kind of aroused the crowd. Like, oh, my goodness, Tiger's about to pull off something spectacular. Oh, my goodness. But afterwards, look with just listen to this. Just listen to this, guys.
The marshals, they told me he already hit. So I pulled the club and was getting ready to play my shot. And then I hear his comments afterwards, and not real surprising that he's complaining about something.
Did you talk to him about it, or did he talk to you?
We didn't do a lot of talking.
Did you know that he said that before you went back out, or only just now?
No, I knew.
Well, it's very simple. You know, I think that, you know, it happens to me when I'm in Spain. You know, you obviously it happens to him everywhere he goes. He gets a lot of people following, and I think you have to be very careful because there's another guy playing, and you know, sometimes you have to pay attention to what's going on, because you know, if the other guy's hitting and you do something when you're on the crowd, the crowd is going to respond, and you know, it's going to affect the other player.
He just told us it's not surprising to hear you complaining about something, was his response. How do you feel about hearing that?
That's fine, you know. At least I'm true to myself. You know, I know what I'm doing, and you know, he can do whatever he wants.
What? I'm true to myself. I don't understand Garcia's rebuttal to that, man. But when you look at this, man, it's kind of cool because you don't see feuds like this when it comes to golf. You know, you may see it in basketball or football or even boxing. You know what I mean? Of course, in boxing. But when I looked at this, man, it really intrigued me. And you know, it's one of those things that kind of makes you want to watch. And that's just the aura of Tiger Woods. But when you look at the situation, okay. Garcia hits his ball in the fairway. Tiger Woods is in the woods. Garcia hits his ball from the fairway. He's already hit. And Tiger Woods takes out his club and the gallery starts cheering. I mean, how would that mess with your game when you've already hit? I don't understand that. Does that make any sense? Am I missing something here, guys?
No, you're not missing anything. I think, you know, Sergio's kind of grasping at straws. Anything that he can kind of push the blame off of maybe himself and his performance and kind of pin it on something else that, you know, was out of his control, so to speak, he's going to do. I guess, you know, it's an understandable thing for him to do it, but it doesn't really bode well. But I did like how there were just, you know, no minced words at all from both of them.
Right.
I mean, it was like a wrestling feud or something, and you don't often see that out on the links. So something fresh, I guess, for golf.
Right.
Yeah, it was. And I mean, I'm just thankful that Tiger finally got his game back together. It's taken him about three to 4 years, but he's finally his game back together, and he's playing very well right now.
Yeah, exactly, and that's one of the things that they're really encouraging, man. When I, because I'm like the biggest Tiger Woods fan, man. I love to, that's my favorite athlete, man. And to see him, you know, back in a mindset of really just dominance right now, I think right now when you look at the situation in the Players Championship, Woods is now. Coming into this, he was 52-4 when leading. Going to the final round, he's now 53-4, and Woods always dominates when he has at least a share of the lead or the lead going to the final day. And now he's really getting to that level, I believe, where he says, "Hey, I know I'm the best in the world, and you can't stop me." And now he's third in putting right now. He's ranked third in putting. His driving accuracy is a little bit off, as you said. Like I said, he was in the woods when he was feuding with Garcia, but. The thing that's really interesting is that Woods is still ranked 24th in the world when it comes to driving distance. So even though he may be inaccurate off the tee, he's still shortening the course, allowing him to go out there and play his short game, which I believe Tiger Woods has the best short game in the game right now, arguably of all time. So it's truly special to see him back. But another aspect to this whole thing is when you ask the question, is Tiger Woods back? And the critics who weigh in on that, Tiger Woods, to everyone, won't be fully back until we all know what I'm about to say, until he wins a major. And until Tiger Woods gets that major, you're going to see still a lot of people out there saying, well, I don't know. Well, yeah, he won the Players Championship. He won the Bridgestone Championship. But is he, you know, when is he going to win a major? And that's really the verdict right now. We don't know. We can just marvel at the talent that he has right now. And, of course, he's ranked number one in the world. He's back to a level of dominance. But, like I said, the critics are always going to have that mantra out there right now that Tiger Woods won't be back until he wins a major.
And that's true. But he set the ball that high. He's the one who always said, you know, my goal is to beat Jack Nicklaus and all the majors. So he set that out there. And so now, you know, people want him to live up to that. And maybe he will still meet Jack Nicklaus. We don't know that for sure, but
I think so. Yeah,
you know he's got a good chance.
He does. All right, guys. Well, let's move on to a rather interesting story. Titus Young, former Detroit Lions wide receiver, Titus Young. Now authorities say former Detroit Lions. Now, well, let me set the scene real quick. Now Titus Young earlier last week was actually arrested, guys. Not once. Get this, twice in one day. How do you get arrested twice in one day? That's a bad day, man. But I believe he had he was driving under the influence, authority said. They took him in, he got released, and he said, "Hey, man, brother, where's my car at? I need to find my car." So he goes and finds his car, and it's in a tow yard. Now, this is the part that really gets me. Titus says, "Hey, I'm about to get my car." So he decides to hop the fence and tried to steal back his own car. Authorities caught him. He gets arrested. And that's twice in one day, guys. That all happened in one day. Now, when I was on ESPN last night just doing some research and things, I saw on the sidebar that said Titus Young arrested. I'm like, oh, yeah, that happened earlier in the week. So I click it, and it's like, oh, Titus Young arrested the third time. I could not believe it. So authorities say former Detroit Lions receiver Titus Young was arrested in California for the third time in a week. The 23-year-old Young was arrested late Friday in San Clemente for allegedly breaking into a home. Something wrong with this brother, man. All right. Now, Young fought with deputies after a foot chase. He has been charged with attempted burglary. Burglary? I'm not even saying it right. All right. Assaulting a police officer and resisting arrest. He is in custody Sunday on a $75,000 bail. I don't even know. I'm lost for words right now, okay? Matt, you want
to
weigh in on that?
I don't know whether to laugh or cry. You know, the twice in one day, that's, you know, at least he showed some effort trying to get the car back, probably more than he had on the field last year.
Yes.
But, yeah, the guy is lost, you know. It's a shame that, you know, former Lion is always going to be right there at the forefront of all those articles because, you know, they need bad press like, you know, a hole in the head.
Exactly, but, right.
But, you know, it's kind of good that he's not on the team anymore from an organizational perspective. But, I mean, you know, it's sad to hear it because he did have a bright future. He could have been that guy, the number two, and who would be, you know, a better guy to be your Batman than Calvin right. Johnson if you're a wide receiver in the NFL. And now it's looking like, you know, instead of fighting with Lou Delmas in practice, I think, you know, now he's fighting with police officers,
right.
You know, kind of going in a downward trajectory there. So it's tough to see.
I totally agree, man. And I really just hate seeing athletes do dumb things. And this was beyond stupid. I think this brother might have a mental issue.
I mean, three times in a week.
Three times in a week? Come on, man. You think you learn after the first one.
Right.
All right, man. All right, let's move on. NBA playoffs, the Golden State Warriors, even the series yesterday at 2 games apiece with an overtime win over the Spurs. Really a Mother's Day story kind of influxed in here with, if you look at Stephen Curry, who has been unbelievable. His jump shot is just sick, guys. But anyway, the guy twisted his ankle, comes, says, hey, coach, I want to play. He goes in there, nails, I believe he had 22 points with 6 rebounds and 4 assists on a bum ankle. Now, that's crazy. Really leading him to victory, 97-87, to even the Western Conference semifinal at 2 games apiece now. The Warriors actually closed game four with a 25-7 run against the Spurs. Really inspirational for Steph. He actually phoned his mother before the game and said, hey, mom, you know, I have this ankle problem. I don't know what to do. Should I play? His mother gave him some words of advice. He decided to play, got in there, and boom, there you go. 22 points, 6 rebounds. Unbelievable story. Now, also tonight, one of the series that I really think are really kind of giving me a flashback to 80s basketball, man, is the Miami Heat and the Chicago Bulls. The Bulls may be shorthanded, but they ain't going out without a fight, man. Now, Tom Thibodeau in the previous game to tonight's game was kind of upset with a few things. Here he is.
From my angle, I just saw a guy basically flop. You know, that's – and I'm going to leave it at that.
Nah, he ain't leave it out there at that, y'all. Look at this. Listen to this. He didn't leave.
Yeah, I didn't think it warranted, you know, an ejection. Thought, you know, I understand a flagrant foul. You know, understand that. But an ejection, no.
Now what Bulls coach Tom Thibodeau is referring to, ladies and gentlemen, is the Nazi Muhammad, actually a former Piston, was guarding LeBron James coming down the court. They get into a little, you know, they get tangled up with the ball. I believe Nazi Muhammad kind of fell on the ground. They got tangled up that way. He gets up and actually shoves LeBron James. LeBron James flows 58 feet. So Tom Thibodeau was really upset that Nazi Muhammad was actually thrown out of the game and not given a flagrant. Now, back in the day, guys, that would have just been maybe a technical, you know, but he wouldn't have been thrown out the
game.
No
blood, no foul.
Exactly. No blood, no foul, man. That's the basketball I miss. And that's something that when I look at this series with the Bulls and Heat, how physical it's been. And really, that's how you got to play the Miami Heat. I have LeBron James. The man is freaking 200 and something pounds going at you full force. I mean, that's how you have to be. But a lot of people don't like that physicalness because they feel as though it's too rowdy, but that's how basketball used to be, guys. I don't know. I like that type of basketball. What do you think,
man? Well, you know, that's kind of the Tom Thibodeau style. Let's muck it up a little bit. He was, you know, the architect right. of the Celtics, you know, championship runs in 2008. And, you know, he's going to be a guy who stresses, you know, no easy buckets. That's the spirit of the Bulls. That's how they beat the 27-game win streak, you know, when they beat the Heat. You know, they played physical. They, you know, they're going to bring LeBron to the ground, and that's not easy to do. And, you know, in lieu of the flagrant comments, yeah, it might have been a flagrant, but to push LeBron James over, you know,
Come on.
I could be at that all day, and I wouldn't even, you know, make a dent. The guy is huge. Yeah. I mean, he's the one player in the NBA whose weight we don't know because the Heat are just keeping it a secret.
Right. And I mean, Matt, the man flew 58 feet off a push.
And he's the strongest player in the league.
Exactly. I don't know, man. But I got to say that I love the Bulls and the grittiness they have right now. You got to play. I mean, they're shorthanded. Ailments, Luol Deng with the spinal tap. I mean, what do you want to do? I mean, what else can they do? You know, you got to be physical, and they're really bringing that brand of physical basketball back to the NBA, which I really, really miss. Man, I miss the Bad Boys and you know, the Celtics back in the day. It's a really interesting series. So tonight we'll see if the Bulls can tie that series. Well, folks, we are going to move on to our last segment of the show where we hear from another special guest, you. That's right. We want to take your calls. Give us a buzz at 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. And let us hear your thoughts on any of today's topics. And, of course, we also have Earl Robbins. He's still here. If you got any questions for him, don't hesitate. Pick up the phone, folks, and stay tuned. More current sports is next.
On the next Fresh Air, Pulitzer Prize-winning author Robert Caro talks about the fourth volume of his biography of Lyndon Johnson, covering the years 1958 to 1964. He describes the animosity between Johnson and Robert Kennedy this way.
Did you ever see two strange dogs come into a room, and all of a sudden they growl and the hair rises on the back of the neck?
Join us.
That's Fresh Air coming up at 3 o'clock.
Every weekday afternoon at 4, All Things Considered keeps you up to date on current events nationally and around the world. I inform you on what's happening at the state and local levels. Hi, I'm Brad Walker, your host for All Things Considered. Join me as we stay on top of the things that matter to you on All Things Considered, weekdays from 4 until 6 on AM 870 WKAR.
Oh, man, I dig that joint. I don't know who that is, Aaron, but I dig it, man. We got to get some Jay-Z on here later on, though, man. But welcome back to Current Sports. I'm Al Martin. It's now that time of the show where we hear from you. That's right. Give us a call at 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. We want to hear your thoughts on any of the topics we cover, and also we have Earl Robinson, the legend here. Just truly a pleasure, man, to have you on the first show. You know, this is special, man. This is special. Thanks for being on here, first of all.
Hey,
man.
Glad to.
Definitely, definitely, man. We talked for everything from the Red Wings and their Game 7 thriller to the Tigers to the Tiger Woods situation with Sergio Garcia. Yeah. Boxing. I understand you want to talk about boxing also with Floyd Mayweather beating Robert Guerrero finally. You know, well, not finally. I mean, Mayweather wins. He's never lost a fight.
Right.
But, oh, I'm getting word in my ear that Jamal from Dallas is on line one. Jamal?
What's going on, sir? How are you today, Mr. Martin?
How you doing, man? I'm pretty good, brother.
I'm always good. And talking about this Bulls Heat series, I understand the whole physicality aspect of, and I agree with you. If you know anybody who's ever seen me play or talked to me about sports, I'm all about defense, I'm all about being physical. But the problem comes in with all the extra antics outside of the play of the game. When it's coming to the point where you're doing stuff after the whistle, out of bounds, you're pushing people when they're down on the ground, it's a certain level of sportsmanship that you have to maintain. The difference between playing and playing, and right. You have to respect.
Right, right.
But
Right. Oh, I think he broke up on his. Thanks a lot for the call, Jamal. Really appreciate it, man. But I definitely understand where he's coming from, because there is a level where it goes a little too far, which I totally understand. But, man, when you look at today's game, guys, I really miss seeing just the dislike for teams. I think the game is too buddy-buddy right now. I think that dims down the competitiveness of it. Am I wrong?
Yes, but they grow up being such good friends in AAU.
Yeah.
And they become good friends in high school and all the way through and all their AAU games. So, yeah, it's a wholly different element these days, because they're just good friends now. And, yeah, you can beat your friends, but you don't have that animosity. Like Magic used to have animosity against a lot of guys.
Right.
They had it against him. But, yeah, you don't have that animosity anymore today.
Right, right. And I definitely see, you know, where Jamal is coming from, though, because there's a level. You don't want to just straight up just – but, again, that kind of adds to the flavor of what makes the NBA a good, you know, good product. Now, for me, if you're looking back in the day, like you said, Earl, great point. You didn't have these guys being friends coming to the NBA. Right. You didn't have Michael Jordan and Isaiah Thomas going out to have a sip of tea. You didn't have that. Right. They hated each other, man. And I think that kind of added to the competitive fire that they wanted to beat each other with. Now, you look at a situation like that today, Kevin Durant and LeBron James. I mean, these guys are really, really close friends. They work out in the offseason with each other. Now, when you get on the court, I mean, how that transition on the court, I mean, you don't see, you know, LeBron talking trash to KD or KD talking trash to LeBron. I think that element of basketball is missing, and I really think it adds to the competitiveness of these guys really wanting to go at each other, because you never know. If they're friends, they might be holding some back. You never know. You never know with an athlete. But I just love seeing it, because it makes it entertaining. It makes it competitiveness. It makes it competitive, I should say, and it's really fun to watch. All right. I also – oh, my goodness – my daddy is on line 3. Father, what's up, man? Dad?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. First show. What's up, man?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say how proud I am of you and how special I feel, you know, that this day is. I got everybody here at work listening to you. The whole office right now has got you on the computer right now.
Thanks,
and,
Dad.
You know, thanks, Earl, for giving him my son a chance. It really means a lot to me that, you know, since he was little, he wanted to play sports. And since he didn't really, you know, have the physical attributes.
Hey, now, come on,
For the game. But, he's doing his passion now. And I know he has a love for it, a real, you know, his heart is completely in it. But I wanted to talk about the game last night. I was watching that game. With San Antonio and Golden State, and do you think the old man just got tired? Because that's what it looked like to me.
I definitely agree with you, and that's something, Dad. That if you look at Magic Johnson and Bill Simmons in their report, Magic really hit on it that you know, when you talk about a lingering series and you talk about the NBA playoffs, second round, third round, as it goes on and on, I mean, those legs start to give, man. Those legs start to, you know what I mean?
They do.
And that's something that you really saw, even with the Spurs. Even with the Warriors, you saw that. Because the Warriors, if you look at their dynamic of the team, they're really a jump-shooting team. You rarely see the Warriors really pounding inside and going. So you really saw a lot of flat jump shots from them also. But it really gets amplified when you talk about the San Antonio Spurs, because they are an older team. And I do agree with you, Dad. So I definitely saw that. But it, all in all, it was a great game. I love to see guys just gritting it through. And like I said, Steph Curry's toughness was really on the line. A lot of guys, if there was any criticism about Steph Curry that I kept hearing, it was, is he tough? And I think him muscling through that ankle injury and going out there and showing that, hey, I may be hurt, but I can still produce, that was really something that added to him. So, but thanks, Dad, for the call, man. That's special, man. Appreciated that.
Hey, I'm loving your show, and I'm really proud of you. I want to let you know that everybody here is proud of you, and we're really enjoying the show.
Thanks, and, man.
Thanks, Earl.
Hey, thank you.
All right, thanks, Dad. That was my father on line 3. All right, I am told we have Tom on line 2. What's up, Tom?
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to the show. Best of luck with it. I was one of Earl Robinson's first callers when he broke out this show, and
yeah.
Seems like it's in good hands.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Tom. Appreciate that.
Okay. What I'm calling about is something that was discussed on this program a couple of weeks or so ago. Mm-hmm. And it has to do with the Washington Redskins nickname. You know, there's no doubt that that Redskins name is a slur, and there's really no reason why they can't find a way to come to some kind of accommodation on it. And I want to share something with you that tells you where some of my concern comes from.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in the service, I was stationed in Kansas City. And in downtown Kansas City, they have this plaza, a real nice plaza that has all these like 10-foot statues of Native American chief that I guess was from the Kansas City area. Real wonderful display.
Right.
All in downtown Kansas City, they have all these Native American streets, Iroquois Street, Cherokee Street, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked some of the people that were Kansas City natives, okay, you got all this stuff for celebrating Native Americans, and so where are they?
Right.
Well, we killed the most of them and sent the rest of them to Kansas.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, it's important to look at what many people might think is, not a big deal.
Yeah.
If you're a Native American, it may rub you the wrong way, as it should rub all of us the wrong way. So I just want to toss that out for your consideration. Once again, welcome to the show and best of luck.
Hey, thanks a lot, Tom. And I think you made a really good point. I mean, because when you look at this name, for people who aren't Native American, it's hard to put yourself in their shoes when they hear the name Redskin. And that's something I had to take in consideration when I thought about this topic. You know, I've heard the proposals that they want to change it to Red Tails to kind of commemorate the Tuskegee Airmen from back in the day and the contribution they made. So, definitely. I definitely agree. And if they're really, this is my opinion, if they're really harping on it and really feel offended by the name and feel that it should be changed, I see why no reason that shouldn't be. Now, I know there's an ingrained culture that comes with the Washington Redskins that's happened over time. But at the same time, if you see a certain culture in our society, and we are the land of America, the land of the free, we should definitely take in consideration how other people feel when it comes to cultural values and traditions. And I think if they feel offended by the name, and it's an overwhelming majority that feels offended by the name, then why not change it? You know, that's how I feel about it. So, all right, Reek O'Beard, this is my frat brother, man. He works for Fox 2 News in Detroit. How you doing, Rico?
What's going on, Al, man? Good to hear. Two legends, the old and the new legend.
The I'm not a legend time. Yet, man.
If you're replacing Earl, that means you're a legend.
Thank you, Rico.
The territory. They didn't give you that in the package when you had to sign your life away?
No, they didn't. That wasn't in the fine print, man.
It's in there. You're a legend. If you don't have a statue right next to you, you're the fourth member of the Lansing Mount Rushmore.
Thanks a lot, Rico. What's up, though, man?
You sounded good. I was laughing when you were talking about how the NBA teams finally starting to not like each other because everybody is buddy-buddy.
Yeah.
I thought I was in the minority. I'm one of the few people who actually enjoy watching the Bulls and the Heat because that reminds me of the old school Bulls Pistons or Celtics Pistons,
right,
where they didn't like each other. And this was before AAU and everybody was buddies and, you know, hung out and everything. And I think it helps with the rivalry. I think it helps with the game when there's a general hate for that other person on the other side. You don't want to see them do well. That's not your boy. And you want to see them fail. I think it enhances. I think we need that more.
Exactly. Rico, I agree with you. Oh, I'm sorry, I cut you off. Go ahead, man.
Oh, no, I was going to say, yeah, because now it's almost unwatchable because fans aren't the same. When your team loses, you want your players to storm off the court and say, you don't want to see them all hugging
exactly.
and going out to dinner because that kind of takes away from how the fan feels because you want the player to be just as angry as you. You want the player to be like Isaiah Thomas so upset with the
right.
Bulls that he walks off the court and doesn't even shake their hand.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, I feel you 125%, Rico. And I miss that, man. Like, in today's NBA, I feel like, and also from another perspective, the competitiveness of the NBA has gone down. There's no doubt about that. You don't have the hate and the rivalries that you had back in the 80s because everybody is buddy-buddy. Just look at the dunk contest, for instance. Now, back in the day, in the 80s, the mindset of the athlete or the premier athlete like a Jordan or Isaiah or a Magic was that they wanted to beat you at all costs. Not just beat you, but really, really beat you. Step on your throat, you know, in so many words.
And, exactly. I remember Larry Bird in the three-point contest walking to everybody saying, who's coming in second today?
Exactly. Exactly, Rico. And you look at the dunk contest. Jordan wanted to compete in the dunk contest because he wanted to be the best in every aspect of the game. He wanted to be no ifs, ands, buts about it that he was the best. Nowadays, you can't get one superstar to participate in the dunk contest because their ego is on, this is my opinion, their ego is on the line, pride is on the line. They don't want to get embarrassed in front of everybody.
Right. If you didn't give my dunk a 50, then, you know, now that's hurting my dollars. Right. It was Jordan. I remember.
Yeah.
This may be a little before you when it was Jordan and Dominique.
Oh, I remember
they,
that.
They went at it. And
yeah.
And each year they kept going at it. And it was like Team Jordan, Team Dominique. And if you was a Dominique fan, you was like, man, Jordan is weak.
Yeah.
You don't have that anymore.
You don't have that anymore, man. Well, Rico, I appreciate you calling, brother. Truly a privilege, man, to hear from you always, man.
No problem, no problem. Take care, Earl. Take Earl out for lunch.
I got him. It's on me.
Okay.
Thanks, Rico.
Thanks, Rico. Yeah.
So, man, like as you said, Earl, I mean, I miss that. I miss that competitiveness in NBA, man. You weigh in it, man. What do you think about that?
I think it you do miss a lot of it. But one other thing I think that's missing also, which I wanted to bring up, to was you have so many guys who can't play. Like, for example, Nazir Muhammad shouldn't even be in the league. He can't play.
Right, right.
But you got a lot of guys like that who can't play, and they're still in the league. And you know, why he's still in the league and he can't play, and that's always amazing to me because when the Pistons signed 5 or 6 years ago, I wondered, what are they doing?
Yeah, yeah,
the
exactly.
The guy can't play, but, you know, there are a lot of guys like that in the NBA these days.
Yeah, that's very true, too. You got to have talent. Another guy, I mean, I agree. I can see where you're coming from that. And guys who don't have the necessary talent level out there picking a fight with a guy like LeBron James,
right.
I mean, you kind of like, hey, what the heck? You're not even anywhere close to LeBron James'
right.
talent, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's something special. Well, like I said, tonight the Bulls will try to even that series. We'll see what happens with that. And another piece of that puzzle, if you look at that Bulls in Heat series, I really think Nate Robinson has come out of nowhere and shown that, hey, I can play the game of basketball, man. And he's been unbelievable. I mean, he's been a scoring machine. Another guy that I think has really been great for the Bulls is Jimmy Butler, another guy who's come out of nowhere. He's the primary guy actually guarding LeBron James for most of the game. And something special about Jimmy Butler is I believe he's the first guy since about the 70s to play 48 straight minutes, I believe. Didn't get a rest. And he's out there guarding LeBron James. And now that's saying something. And another interesting dynamic is, when is Derrick Rose going to come back?
Next year.
Next year, yeah, exactly. I think we just about figured that one out. I think Derrick Rose will be back next year, man. But the thing is, he's cleared to play. He's not playing. And you see your team out there struggling. And you see guys like a Taj Gibson, who's really, you know, been facing ailments and been hurt, and other guys on the team who are pushing through, and you kind of ask yourself, you know, why can't Derrick Rose do that? But I also understand that these are NBA players and they have to look out for themselves first. So that's another thing we have to take into consideration. But all right, guys, what a day. We had Earl Robinson on today's show. Thank you for everyone who called in today's first show, Current Sports with me, Al Martin. We reached that part of the show where we have to say goodbye, though. But don't fret. We'll be back here tomorrow, same place, same time. Join me as I talk with Jeff Gittner, the Senior Vice President and General Manager of four Atlanta-based Fox Sports networks. We kick off our sports. We kick off our sports and television special with him. Well, before I leave, I want to say a special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's premiere episode of Current Sports. Gary Reed, the Director of Sports Broadcasting here at WKAR. Pam Whitten, the Dean of Communication, Arts, and Sciences here at MSU. Peter Wharf, our station manager here at WKAR. Also, a big thanks to Katie Wolf, the Senior Director of Communication, and Bill Richards, who does an outstanding job with communication and web. Susie Elkins, our TV station manager, Alex Sharg, and Matt Lepke, our great production assistants. My intern, Mike Corey, our radio producer, Joe Lindstroff, the producer of Current State, actually, along with my outstanding engineer, Aaron Young, and Earl Robinson, the man who is passing the torch to me. Thanks for tuning in, folks. Same time, same place tomorrow. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing.